He's celebrating his lifelong friendship with Sir Ian McKellen in the episode known as Danger Man.
Childhood. Why does it have to be quite so boring? And why does so much of it take place indoors? I sat in our front room in Greenock on a Sunday night in 1947 with Bleak House unopened in front of me. Mother sat next to me humming tunes that weren't tunes at all. And knitting. Socks, no doubt. Why does it always have to be socks?
What's that going to be, Ma? A glove?
The gloves have heels, child.
No, Ma.
There's your answer.
When would life knock on the door? There was a world out there. When would it come for me?
Oh, I'll go.
I hope it's not Murray Marshall.
That, of course, was exactly who I hoped it was. Murray was 11, same age as me. Murray, not boring, Marshall. You opened the door to Murray and life came rushing in.
Murray, stop running! You'll wear out our stairs!
Sorry, Mrs. Wilson.
Murray ran everywhere. Upstairs, downstairs, into the classroom, out of the classroom. I mean, we all run to the lavatory. Murray ran out.
Come on, get your bike.
Murray in a hurry, my mother called him. I called him Danger Boy. He was a friend who gets you into trouble. We all need a friend like that.
I know. Let's go branching.
Branching was Murray's most dangerous invention. You clung to a branch with your bare hands, then swung along it in the manner of an ape. You literally went out on a limb.
Up here! Come on!
Murray went out along the branch. I followed, two boys hanging from the same thin branch. This was childhood at its least boring.
Ah! I think I've broke my arm!
That's nothing. I've broken both!
Murray Marshall is banned from seeing my son. My mother wrote that out in full on my plaster cast. A year later, Murray's father was offered a job as the landlord of a West End pub. The Marshalls left Greenock for good, and that was the end of Danger Boy. 20 years later, in 1967, I was a young actor living in London. I got a small part in the TV show Danger Man, which made me think, what happened to Danger Boy? I arranged to meet him in his dad's pub. Murray! Great to see you! Drink?
Thank you. I'll have half a pint of bitter shandy, please.
A klaxon went off in my head. Do you get that? It's like an internal alarm. Cheers! So, what are you up to these days?
I'm a trainee. With Ellis and Tate.
Who are they?
Who are they? The UK's biggest name in independent financial advice. I'm doing really well. Get a company car in 2 years, probably a Vauxhall Victor. So, you?
I'm an actor. I've got a part in Danger Man.
Oh dear, that's a very insecure profession. Have you thought about a self-employed deferred annuity?
I don't know what that is.
Don't worry. I do. Come and see me in my office and I'll give you my advice. Here's my card. There's never been a better time to plan your financial future.
I'm so sorry. I've got to go. I've just remembered.
Keep on running. Keep on hiding.
With that, I ran out of the pub. I was running away from the mature, dull man Murray Marshall had become. But who was I running to? There was no one in my life like young Murray. No exciting friend to make me do things I never thought I could. I didn't stop running for 15 years. Then I found him. His name was Ian McKellen. You're listening to Believe It, the life story of me, Richard Wilson. This is my radiography. In 1982, I went on holiday to Cyprus with my actress friend, Anna Massey. but she had to fly home after a week because her granny was very ill. Or was it because she'd been offered a lucrative voiceover? I think it was both. Yes, I remember not being sure what to do with my face. After Anna left, I was on my own. It wasn't so bad, though. I had a nice big book, Bleak House. I never got round to opening it when I was a child, but now I was 46. I was ready for its 900 pages. One morning, wandering through Nicosia with 2 pounds of Dickens weighing down my shoulder bag, I saw a poster for a one-man show. Ian McKellen, acting Shakespeare. I bought a seat in row A.
Good evening, my name is Ian McKellen and Shakespeare changed my life. Not all the water in the rough, rude sea.
I'd seen him as Richard II, Edward II, and Macbeth, but I'd never have been this close.
I live with bread, like you. Feel want, taste grief, need friends.
Yes, I had a feeling he and I could be friends. After the show, I went backstage and knocked on his dressing room door.
Come.
I hope you don't mind my dropping in to say hello. I'm Richard Wilson.
Yes, I know who you are, Richard. Of course, I'm nice to meet you. Sit down. Are you here on holiday? Thank you so much for coming to the show.
No, thank you. It's a great achievement holding an audience on your own like that.
Oh, you're too kind. Where are you from? I'm intrigued by your accent. Is it Paisley?
Close. Next door, Greenock.
Greenock? Oh, yes, you've got that wonderful Georgian customs house, haven't you?
We have indeed.
James Watt was born there, was he not? 1736?
Absolutely.
Would you like a glass of Cypriot wine? Mavro, it's called, Greek for black, but it's red, I promise.
Thank you so much.
Here was a Cambridge graduate who knew everything. Ian McKellen invented Stephen Fry. Shakespeare, Greenock, Greek. I was sure he'd be a Dickens man. I couldn't wait to mention the huge tome in my bag.
Listen, Richard, what are you doing now? I've been invited to a party at the British Embassy. Why didn't you come?
I can't, I'm afraid. I have to read.
Oh, I understand. What is it? Film? Telly?
No, it's not a script. It's this.
Bleak House. Oh, I know it well.
I'm on page 47.
Really?
Yes, and I've only been reading it a week.
Isn't that the page where Mr. Jarndyce gets the letter from Lawrence Boythorn?
You know, don't you?
Of course I don't know. It's a joke. Come on, Richard, you're coming to the party.
All right, then.
But first, I have to kill that fly. Don't look at it.
Sorry?
Never let a fly know you've got it in your sights. Let's make some small talk, make it feel safe. It's a nice shoulder bag. Where did you get it?
Camden Market.
I thought so. Ah.
Ian McKellen struck that fly with my copy of Bleak House. It was fabulous. Nobody saw it coming, least of all the fly.
Woe, destruction, ruin, and decay. The worst is death, and death will have his day.
Larkin.
No, dear, Richard II, Act 3, Scene 2. Why, I'm sorry, your book has a fly bloodstain.
Don't worry. If I may say so, you did that with tremendous relish.
Swat the fly, that's my motto. Do the unexpected, with conviction.
Onwards we went to the British Embassy, a small corner of Cyprus that was forever Tunbridge Wells.
Hello. May I say hello? I'm Muriel Grant, the cultural attaché's wife.
Pleased to meet you, Muriel.
What a pleasure it was to see your performance tonight.
Thank you. This is my friend, Richard Wilson.
Hello, Muriel Grant. Tell me, Ian, when you played Richard II, did you feel like a king off stage? I mean, when you boiled your egg in the morning, did you do it like a king?
Well, I don't know. Kings tend not to boil their own eggs.
Very true. Do you find foreign audiences different from English ones? Do they understand less?
Well, I suppose that depends whether they speak English like...
Oh, of course. Do you find it hard to learn lines? Or is that something that gets easier as one gets older?
The more she grilled him, the more northern Ian became. I took it as a sign of stress.
Tell me, does Judi Dench do a one-woman show? If so, can you persuade her to bring it to Cyprus? We are so desperate for culture.
Well, up in Alaska. Well, now our Muriel lamps pay off. Got to get my beauty sleep. As have you, my love.
Oh, I say, that's very good of you. Well, adieu then.
Ambassador, Mr. McKellen is leaving.
Ah, right. Good night then. Thank you so much for coming.
No, thank you. They put a right laugh.
Don't forget our tennis party tomorrow, 4 o'clock.
Outside the embassy, I said goodnight to Ian.
You can't stop now. There's a club called Girls, Girls, Girls near the bazaar. You up for it? Come on, Bleak House can wait. Follow me.
Girls, Girls, Girls near the bazaar? It didn't sound like my cup of tea, but I went.
I like the woman in the cage. She's very, what's the word?
Nude.
I was going to say bendy. She shouldn't rub her breasts against the bars like that. Looks like she's trying to escape.
Ah, good evening, Ian, my friend. What can I get you?
Evening, Marcos. Champagne, please.
Champagne, of course. What else you like? I want bouncy with the girl in the cage and make her a nice prize.
Oh, just some peanuts. Thank you, Marcos.
Peanuts? Of course. Protein. Good for the sex with the ladies.
Isn't he fabulous?
I must tell you, you remind me of my boyhood friend, Murray. He was always persuading me to do things.
Oh, that sounds bad.
No. It was exciting. I mean, I'd never have come here if you hadn't brought me.
Well, you have to deviate from the guidebook, don't you?
Yes, listen. If you do want to bouncy-bouncy with the girl in the cage, don't let me cramp your style.
That's not my style.
I thought not. So what brings you to a girly bar?
It's not a girly bar.
No? You could have fooled me.
Well, exactly. The point is to fool everyone. It's a day bar. In a country where gayness is illegal, hence the bogus show of heterosexuality.
Miss Bendy's a friend.
Precisely.
Hello, gentlemen. Enjoying the sights? Got a fine pair on her, eh?
Hello again, Ambassador. Yes, she certainly has.
Don't drink too much, will you? It might harm your serve.
This is my friend Richard.
Hello, Richard.
Pleased to meet you, Ambassador.
Call me Rupert. Do you play tennis? You've got lovely big hands.
No, I use them more for reading.
The next afternoon, while I took a siesta to keep out of the heat, Ian played 5 sets of tennis. That night, in his dressing room before the show, he was in a bit of a state.
Muriel had this terrible pattercake serve. The damp ball took an age to come down, and after a bit, you lose sight of it, you know, it's just up there in the sun.
You're right. Drink some water.
John McEnroe was shouting at me. You cannot be serious. You are in the pits of the world.
John McEnroe is there?
Where? He was.
Listen, I think you got sunstroke. You're delusional.
Ladies and gentlemen, will you please take your seats? Tonight's performance of Ian McKellen acting Shakespeare will begin in 5 minutes.
I can't go on. Oh, me head. Am I getting more northern? Oh, I'm feeling increasingly Wigan.
Is there an understudy?
Course not.
No, you're right. Who else could say, my name is Ian McKellen and Shakespeare changed my life? Okay, I'll tell front of house to cancel.
Say that again.
Stay here, keep drinking.
No, the opening line.
My name is Ian McKellen and Shakespeare changed my life.
Yes, you made me believe you were Ian McKellen.
You're hallucinating, Ian.
Here's the script. Now go out there and read it.
I'm not going out there and saying I'm Ian McKellen. It's out of the question. I'm a bonny fechter, but I'm not that bonny. Bye-bye. Sorry, I go more Scots when I get stressed.
You can do it. I know you can. You get out there and do it. With conviction. Swat the fly.
Swat the fly.
Ladies and gentlemen, in tonight's performance of Ian McKellen acting Shakespeare, the part of Ian McKellen will be played by Richard Wilson. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Ian McKellen, and Shakespeare changed my life. Not all the water in the rough root sea can wash the balm off from an...
I got less Scots as I went on. That native accent thing is a craving for security. You're stressed, so you yearn to return to the womb. By the end, I was high above that womb, high in the sky, with the flies, swatting them all.
We are such stuff as dreams are made on, and our little life is rounded with a sleep.
I came off that stage elated. I ran back to my dressing room and waited for the knock on the door.
Come, Richard. What can I say? You were absolutely me.
I wasn't sure I got your voice.
You got my spirit.
I certainly didn't get your face, but I felt I got close to your intensity.
Close? You were inside my intensity, looking out.
How's the sunstroke?
Forget the sunstroke. This is about you. I missed the first half, but I watched the second from the back, and you were magnificent.
No one asked for their money back.
They would have paid more.
Tell me the truth now. I didn't capture your relish, did I? Your fly-killing relish.
For goodness sake, you were reading from a script you got 5 minutes before the show.
I have to learn it, don't I? I'll stay up all night if I have to. When's the next show?
Tomorrow at 8.
Will you be there? It would mean a lot to me if you were.
Well, yes, Richard, I'll be on stage.
Of course you will. What am I talking about?
I went back to my hotel and read page 53 of Bleak House. Over and over I read that page. What a fool! To think I could be Ian McKellen more than once. He was bolder than me, more charismatic, more flamboyant. But what a friend, to make me believe I could go out there and do that. You'd do anything for a friend like that. This phrase kept going through my head. I'd do anything for Ian McKellen. Thirty years have passed since we met in Cyprus. 10 years later, Ian got a knighthood. 20 years later, he was Gandalf. Then he played King Lear, famously removing his clothes in the mad scene, thereby exposing what was known in the gay world back then as his civil partnership tackle. Oh yes, Ian's still fearless. As a matter of fact, the more famous he's got, the more fearless he's got.
The world is not in your books and maps. It's out there.
That's Gandalf speaking, but it could be Ian. We've been out there many times over the years, and the pattern's always the same. He persuades me to do things. Whitewater rafting, running in the Atlas Mountains, wrestling with a dolphin. It's so hard to get a dolphin in a grip. In 2008, he left me this message.
Richard, I've just seen this movie, The Bucket List. Two sick old men bust out of hospital with a list of stuff they want to do before they kick the bucket. It's so inspiring. See it.
I went, of course. It didn't go well. I came out of the bucket list really needing a bucket. Nevertheless, the next time, he made me write out the things I wanted to do before I was dead.
Finish Bleak House. Is that it?
Yes. My head spins every time I open that book, but I'll get there.
You don't want to do the Cresta Run?
No.
You don't want to hurtle headlong down 500 meters of ice at 80 miles an hour?
Correct.
With the Cresta Run, we reached a compromise. He did the run while I stayed at the top making the noises. More often than not, though, I do what he does and live to tell the tale. In December 2012, he invited me to the LA premiere of The Hobbit. The after-show party was chock-a-block with beautiful people, row upon row of perfect American showbiz teeth. I'd not seen so much white since I looked down that Cresta Run.
My God, you've come a long way from the British Embassy in Cyprus. There's not a Muriel in the place.
It's wonderful, isn't it? But it's not all there is. Shall we deviate?
Shall we deviate? It doesn't mean what you think it means. It's that thing he said in Nicosia. You must deviate from the guidebook.
You must go where the natives go, the people with the off-white teeth. At 2 a.m, we got out of our cab in 108th Street in South Central Los Angeles. The cab driver drove off extremely fast. That should have been a clue.
What do we do now?
We walk. Right. Well, this is interesting.
Isn't it?
You're not carrying a lot of money, are you?
No. Just Bleak House.
Oh, great. Nobody's going to want that.
Was this on your bucket list?
Absolutely. The walk on the wild side. I want to experience this before I die.
It's not going to be now, is it?
Of course not. No, we're not going to die before we die, as it were.
That's cheered me up.
It was just like going out on that branch with Murray Marshall. You hoped you wouldn't fall. You didn't want to fall, but you sort of expected you would fall. If you didn't fall, you sort of feel disappointed.
Is that a sawn-off shotgun?
Is what a sawn-off shotgun?
That sawn-off shotgun that man's got.
What man?
The man ahead of us, with the white vest and the baggy black shorts.
The man with the sawn-off shotgun?
Yes.
It looks like a sawn-off shotgun. Let's cross the street.
We crossed the street, and so did the man with the sawn-off shotgun. So we crossed back, and so did he. At that point, we could have turned our backs on him, but you don't want to turn your back on a man with a sawn-off shotgun. You want to see the bullet approaching, so you can step aside. We walked towards him, not looking at him. It wasn't easy.
I want your phones and I want your money. Now!
You don't have to shout, lad. You'll get what you want.
I'm sorry. I've not got any money, laddie.
Did you call me lady?
Laddie!
It's Scots. Scotch. It's from Scotland. Near Europe.
Shut up!
Beg pardon.
I've not got any money, sir. I've only got this.
What do I want a book for?
Told you he wouldn't want it.
Hey, don't I know you? You're that beer guy from the Ring movies, right?
I am. Do you want a photo with me, lad? Put the gun down and my friend here will take photo of us.
Oh, yes. I've got a wee camera on my phone. Oh, that's Scotch for tiny.
You want a photo of me? To show to the cops? You think I'm stupid?
No. Oh, don't shoot me. Oh, please. I haven't seen the Northern Lights. Richard, swat the fly.
What?
Swat the fly!
What fly? Where's the fly?
Ian McKellen thought I could do it. So I did it. Unexpectedly, with conviction, I hit the man with my Bleak House as if he were a two-legged fly.
Ah!
And then we ran. We ran like Murray Marshall and me when we broke our arms. Slowly, with no idea where we were going. But the man didn't come after us. Bleak House had done its work. It had knocked him out. It had sent him to sleep, as it had so often with me. On the flight home from LAX, Ian was unusually subdued.
I just want to say, Richard, I'm never going to ask you to do anything ever again.
I'm very glad to hear that.
Oh, my God, there's blood on the back cover of your Bleak House.
Don't worry. That's only fly blood from your dressing room in Cyprus, remember?
Oh, I remember.
Nowadays, Ian doesn't deviate from the guidebook. On our trip to Ibiza, he spent most of his time in the Museum of Archaeology. Who knew Ibiza had a museum? You couldn't even dance in there. He's forgotten about the Northern Lights. Before he dies, all he wants to do is learn to knit. Happily, I learned that from my mother.
How's it going?
Fine. Actually, I'm struggling.
Oh, you slide the right needle through the loop. So?
Yes.
And keep the tip behind the left needle.
Oh, I'm sorry, you've told me so many times. What are you knitting, exactly?
Socks for my goddaughter's grandson.
Jesus! Your goddaughter's a grandmother?
Yes.
I was Gandalf the Grey, then Gandalf the White, and that just leaves Gandalf the Dead. What's happened to me?
Fear no more the heat or the sun, nor the furious winter's rages.
Safety man. That's what he calls himself now.
We still have adventures, though. Last Saturday, we were in my flat when the bell rang.
Who's that?
Damn, it's 4 o'clock, isn't it? I clean forgot it's Murray Marshall.
Now why do I know that name?
He was my you when I was a boy. Then he became a financial advisor. He tracked me down on that LinkedIn, Facebook, reunited thing. Damn.
Tell him to go away.
I can't, I invited him.
Pretend you're out.
Well, he'll see me through the window.
Okay, let's do this.
McKellen ran behind the sofa and threw himself to the ground as if this wasn't a flat in Belsize Park, but a jungle in Vietnam. Oh yes, he still got it, and I followed him, as I've done so often before.
Hello? Richard, are you there? It's Murray. Hello?
That's the most dangerous thing we've done since the night of the sawn-off shotgun. Hidden from a financial advisor. We stayed there, playing dead, till we heard Murray Marshall drive off in his Vauxhall Vector company car, or whatever it is he drives these days.
All clear. We can come out now.
Yep.
I've got a present for you. I've been carrying it around for days. There you go. Signed copy of my new CD.
Thank you. When did you do this?
Earlier this year. 6 days that took me. It's unabridged. 150 pages a day.
Shall I put it on?
Be my guest.
Bleak House by Charles Dickens. Read by Ian McKellen.
I'm still going to finish it, you know.
Of course you are.
Chapter 1. In Chancery, London. Michaelmas term lately over, and the Lord Chancellor sitting in Lincoln's Inn Hall.
Where did I put my needles?
Oh, God. You're not doing heroin now.
Knitting needles, you old fool.
Right. I'll join you. I don't want to be left out.
Like an elephantine lizard up Holborn Hill.
Golden lads and girls all must, as chimney sweepers come to dust.
You've been listening to Believe It, the radiography of me, Richard Wilson. I would like to thank my actor friends for their help in this endeavour. Ian McKellen, David Tennant, Nick Macarone, Arabella Weir and Jane Slaven. I would also like to thank my ghostwriter, John Cantor, and my producer and director, Clive Brill of Pacificus Productions. And of course our hosts, BBC, Radio 4.